You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
And it is time to join Rebecca Davis for that part of the program that, for a reason lost in the mists of time, we call Plan B. Hello, Rebecca Davis.
Hello, John. I've got a rapid-fire question for you to start off.
Yes, what is it?
What, John Matham, is the connection between Tourism Minister Lindiwe Sisulu and competitive swimming?
It's a pity that I don't have a prize, because I hope the answer is as interesting as the question. Well, I don't know the answer. I am racking my brains to try and come up with a link, but I can't come up with one. What is it?
The answer is Lindiwe Sisulu's stepdaughter, Rebecca Achieng Ajulu Bushel, who was the first black woman to swim for Britain and the world champion over 50 meters when she was 14 years old.
Wow. You see?
That is, of course, the child of Sisulu's deceased husband, Rock Ajulu.
That's why we pay you the big bucks, because you come up with these sorts of things. And you want to talk about Julius Malema and the visit to restaurants by the EFF.
Yeah, John, I think that what happened yesterday represents a real new low for the EFF. And that's not to say that this kind of, you know, thuggery is unexpected for them. But what I was genuinely disturbed by, surprisingly, was their complete descent into political doublespeak. So even when you saw the headline of the press release that they sent out announcing that they would be doing these bizarre inspections of Gauteng restaurants yesterday, the headline said that the EFF would be checking the employment ratio of foreigners to South Africans, with the clear implication, I feel, that foreigners are being overrepresented in South African employment. Then the body of the press release claimed that the EFF's purpose was actually to check, quote, our African brothers and sisters are not being exploited. So framing what was really a very, very overtly xenophobic mission as a welfare check on foreigners employed in restaurants. And it's quite clear that checking the employment ratios was actually the only point, because as we saw from various tweets and videos and so on, what we saw was EFF leaders going through employment records, you know, with the pen, literally looking to see who was South African and who was a foreigner. So evidently what has happened is the EFF has realized that its pretty much sole decent policy, which was a stance of welcome to foreigners, an anti-xenophobic stance, was costing it votes. That it'll probably cap them as a 10% party in a country where nationalism is growing and anti-foreigner sentiment is growing. So they've abandoned it. And, you know, Zimbabweans can't vote, right? So there's no downside from the EFF's perspective to simply chucking them under the bus. And I think it's that aspect that I find most disturbing. Then there have also been people saying, I've seen on social media, that, you know, businesses must have the balls to stand up to the EFF when they come a knocking. And look, I empathize with that to some degree. I too felt frustration at what seemed to be a very, very compliant attitude from certain restaurants that they visited yesterday. At the same time, though, we've got to have sympathy for these restaurant managers who have the EFF on their doorstep. We have the shadow of the looting last year hanging over our heads. I mean, it would take a very, very brave person under those circumstances to show them much defiance. But at the very least, John, surely one would have expected the ANC's Labour minister to make some kind of statement yesterday or today to say, actually, the EFF has no business in this kind of regulation, and that we as the ANC abhor this and want to expose it for what it is. And that brings me to another bugbear, which is the media, John. And obviously I'm a member of the media, and I'm also not above reproach in any way. But I noticed a whole bunch of media articles on what happened yesterday, simply reporting events and what Malema had said, etc., without any mention to the reader or clarification that the EFF had no basis in law to be undertaking this kind of inspection, which I found hugely frustrating. I mean, surely in the basic interest of kind of truth-telling and facts, you should be telling your readers up front, by the way, this whole mission was entirely bogus. It seems to me to amount to nothing more than an extortion racket, the kind of thing that the mafia does, the kind of thing that Cape gangs do, where they go to nightclubs in town and say, you know, pay us protection money or you're in trouble. That's really what this is, dressed up as some kind of political platform. And it's unconscionable that it can be allowed to continue.
I agree absolutely, Rebecca. I agree with you 100%. Julius Malema's sort of doubled down on it today in another speech in public, saying, I don't need permission to check if restaurants are complying with labor laws. That's not what you were doing. You weren't checking whether restaurants comply with labor laws. You were checking how many foreigners are employed by those restaurants. And you were kind of hoist by your own petard when you found out that more South Africans are employed than foreigners. And that kind of undercut you a little, mate. Anyway,
it did. And the other thing that I take a perverse kind of comfort for is that I saw on Twitter the impression rapidly circulating, which I think is wrong, but I'm not about to correct it, that the EFF wants 40% employment for foreigners and 60% employment for South Africans in every business. So that is also a way in which they have been undone. And yes, I'm not crying about that.
And why have people been having less sex over the last decade? I genuinely ask because I wasn't able to click onto the link to Scientific American, which you sent me, because what I get is that temporarily unavailable, currently down for maintenance. Perhaps they didn't want me to know why people are having less sex.
Perhaps they didn't. So this is that article is based on one study, but over the past decade, there have been a number of studies finding a significant decline in sexual activity around the world, and not just in America, where these studies often originate, but in Japan, Britain, Australia, and other places as well. So the latest example was a U.S. study showing declines from 2009 to 2018 in all forms of partnered sexual activity. It's important to note, I think, John, that these were self-reported stats, right? So they were asking people, how much sex do you have? And it's certainly my impression in the case that people tend to overstate how much sex they have rather than understate it. So I think there's good reason to believe that might be somewhat accurate. So the researchers give a number of potential reasons why this might be the case. They suggest, obviously, the increase in social media. People are tweeting rather than having sex, which is very depressing. They're playing video games more. And there's also been some reports of a general decrease in certain places in alcohol use. Alcohol obviously lowers inhibitions and the rest of it. But the most disturbing potential reason they cite is the normalization of increasingly rough sex, including choking and strangling, which has been popularized over the recent past, not just by porn, but also in more mainstream outlets like the success of 50 Shades of Grey and its sequels, for instance, women's magazines and so forth. And they say there's some evidence to suggest, for instance, that some might consent to sex, but then choking happens, for instance, which really puts them off and kind of traumatizes them, or that young people in particular are too frightened to engage in much sex at all. And if this sounds outlandish, John, and I admit it kind of does, you know, last month the pop singer Billie Eilish said in an interview on the Howard Stern show that the first few times she had sex, she was consenting to things that were not good because she thought that's what she was supposed to be attracted to, which kind of gives some, at least one piece of anecdotal evidence in support of that, that we're just developing this frightening picture in the mainstream of what sex is like and that people may understandably actually be put off by it.
And then finally, it took me a long time before I learnt that GIF was pronounced GIF, and that led to quite a lot of embarrassment as I mispronounced it in other ways. But they are so embarrassing now, are they?
You are again so embarrassing, John, because I thought you would have known. The last big news about GIF was the whole pronunciation debate in 2013 when the inventor of
2013?
Yes, the inventor of GIF.
I miss it for that long.
Stepped up and said, yo, it's pronounced GIF. I invented it. I should know. And that has caused controversy down the years. 2014, Barack Obama officially took a side, saying that his official position is that it should be pronounced GIF. Good enough for me. So you're on the right side finally now. GIF, of course, in graphics interchange format. Basically, the oh, gosh, it's so hard to describe this without sounding like an alien. Those moving images that people send to each other on WhatsApp and use on social media. John, just as you have developed some familiarity with them, they are being shunned by anyone young and cool. This is according to a new Vice article, which also acknowledges during the pandemic, GIF use actually grew quite a lot. But they attribute that to the boomers coming onto WhatsApp for the first time and realizing this funky new thing existed called GIF. The Gen Zs think that they're overused, they think that they're lazy, and that sometimes they amount to digital blackface. The young wokes say that if you are a white person using a GIF of a black person, for instance, that amounts to digital blackface. I simply do not have the energy to engage in that debate, John. But what I do want to tell you is to hold off with the GIFs unless you want everyone to know that you're a tired old boomer.
I did try to find a GIF that I could return to you when I got your email this morning, but I'm so technologically inept that I couldn't find one to include to my return email to you. So,
says it all.
It does. Rebecca Davis will be back with another Plan B next week.